broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth podcast with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We are so excited to be with you in 2020, a new decade.
Yeah.
The first podcast episode of 2020. This is the dawning of a new era on the Refresh Your Wealth podcast.
Did I say this last week? I can't remember. We are the same amount of years from 2050 that we are 1990.
Wow. That, when you think about it that way.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Wow. 1990 to here is the same as from here to 2050.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Wow.
Huh. And think about all the progress we've made. I mean, I was expecting for jetpacks to like really be, you know, daily transportation. I thought like hoverboards, like real hoverboards from Back to the Future 2, I thought those would be reality. Yeah. So, I mean, we have, you know, social media.
Yeah.
I mean, but I was expecting a jetpack.
Yeah. And now if you saw it too, one side note on this technology thing, it's evolved in other ways. Last night I was watching a news show on the new self-driving diesel trucks that do deliveries. And it's crazy. They're going down the freeway with cameras all around them and no one's inside. You're like,
what state is this in? Let me, is it Arizona? They've got like all these, seriously, we have all these companies that have the test self-driving vehicles. Arizona is kind of like a mecca for it. And you'll see them out on the road. I haven't seen a semi yet, but okay. They say they're safer. I mean, than individuals. I mean, they're going to cause accidents. I know they have, but so have people. So.
Yeah. It's weird. Well, Welcome everybody, because this, if you're a new guest on the show, thank you for being here. This is all about building wealth, saving taxes, protecting your assets. And we love small business. We love entrepreneurs, investors. We love Main Street. Wall Street is, you know, a wild card, but we love this conversation. And so today, and we do it every year, and even if you've heard this before, please stay with us for this hour. We want to talk about strategic planning. And what we've learned over the years from our consultants, what we've done ourselves, what we've learned from clients, is that an annual strat plan is absolutely critical for success. So we're going to talk about it, what we do, how we do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big topic, really cool. I think a lot of people are doing it right now in their personal lives and in their business. And so we'll dig into that, of course. But
let me say this too. Yeah. This is not New Year's resolutions. Strategic plan is more than that. It's not just, okay, this is what I'm going to get done this year. No.
Right.
That's why you got to tune in, people, because it's really the practical weekly, monthly action items you're going to take to get somewhere. And as a small business owner, we need that. It's very lonely. We got to have something.
Yeah. And it's fluid. It changes. You should be updating it, keeping it with you at all times. There's so much to it. Besides like a post on social media saying, you know, you're going to lose some weight or something. To make fun of the cliches. So
high speed keto.
Yes. Not there's anything wrong with that, but you know. Okay. Well, before we get into those topics, we always love to give a juicy nugget of information from the tax and legal world, that the world's the two planets that we live in. And it's my pleasure to give the legal tip. Would you like me to go first, Mark?
Yes, sir. I love it.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, this week's legal tip is compliments of our federal government, who passed a new law on December 20th called the Secure Act. Now, I talked about this on the last podcast and how one of the things that happened in the Secure Act was the death of the Stretch IRA, or it actually wasn't killed. It was just gutted. So yeah. The stretch IRA was gutted. We talked about it last week. This is the thing. If you inherited a retirement account from your parents or any non-spouse, basically a parent, family member, you could stretch out that retirement account, take distributions over your lifetime, which was a great strategy. Well, you can't do that anymore. Congress limited that to 10 years. I got a blog article on this, sdrahandbook.com, you can get that gets into detail. But I want to hit two other tips that are still really important from that law that are actually good things.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't want more of your so-called tips because that was freaking a Debbie Downer last week. So these are actually tips that I'm going to be happy with.
Yeah, there's some good. So, okay. And in my blog article, I called it the good, bad, and ugly of the laws that, you know, affected IRAs. So yeah. The bad and the ugly were the stretch IRA was gutted. That was bad and it was ugly. But there was a couple good things, all right?
Okay. All right.
The first thing that was cool is the RMD age, for those of you with traditional accounts, was raised to 72 and a half. Sorry, 72. To 72. It used to be 70 and a half, which means if you had a traditional IRA, once you hit 70 and a half, the government made you start taking money out. And they wanted you to start taking money out because you have to pay tax when you pull money out from a traditional account. They get there. You basically got an extra year and a half. Now it's 72. I can't tell you how many calls over the years I had with clients that are like, I don't even know what year do I turn 70 and a half. Like, who celebrates half birthdays when they're 70? So that was one thing.
I'm not trying to rain on your parade, mm-hmm. but I have to say, I bet you there's a listener out there going, hold it. I just went from 70 and a half to 72. Woohoo, man, let's throw a party. an hour later, I'm going, what? Who cares? And so I got a year and a half before I have to take out of my IRA. I don't want to say anything rude about 72-year-olds, but I don't think this is high on their list. But whatever, you know, Congress, they're screwing us over again. I'm not happy about it.
I had a client in my office turning 70 and a half next year. And I explained this to them. They were happy.
Okay.
They cared. They really do. Because they're thinking, oh man, especially self-directed investors, when you hit that age, you got to start making sure you got enough cash flow. If it's just real property without income, you may need to sell it to get cash to start paying RMD. You know, so there are some planning things that go into account. Now, yes, it's not a grand, great thing, but it's something. You know, I mean, you can write your congressman, you know, and tell them that you didn't like it, but, you know, you got something.
Okay, whatever.
There's more. I got more.
Okay, you got more.
This is a good one.
Okay.
The second good one, the age limit for making contributions to IRAs for traditional people or those doing a backdoor Roth IRA has been removed. It used to be once you hit 70 and a half, which is the RMD age, that you could no longer make contributions to traditional accounts. That age restriction has been totally removed. So you can continue to contribute if you have earned income, even past 70 and a half, even past 72. There's just no restriction anymore on making contributions based on your age. That's cool, right?
Yeah, did they do it for the HSA?
Ooh, I do not know that. Great question.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, what were you expecting?
Okay, I want to say this again then. So this is, I'm legitimately asking this. I'm not trying to dumb it down for anyone listening. So if I had a Roth IRA, there was a time period that would come when I couldn't put money in it, but I could still take
Roth
it out.
Roth IRAs never had contribution limits based on age, okay. But traditional accounts did.
Okay.
All right. Or a SEP IRA, for example, any, you know. To account you were getting a deduction for putting money and had a cap because those accounts you had to start taking RMD. So the government's like, well, why would we let you put more money in when you're forced to take money out? That doesn't make sense. So now they have removed it though, period, even after 72, which is when RMD starts now for those traditional accounts. So, you know, for those of us that geek out in IRA rules, this is pretty cool. It actually simplifies things. Both these rules, frankly, simplify things more than anything. But they're in favor of the account owners. Now there are some other cool things I'll just say that are in there. They're in the blog article. I won't bore you guys here with all those details, but for the geeks, the retirement plan geeks, which I'm in that club, so I don't say that negatively. Check out sdrahandbook.com. I got my article up there with some more detail on this.
You know, and I will say this. This is kind of, I like what you just said. I've never phrased it this way before. And for some of you young people under age 30 and that are out there listening to our podcast on a regular basis, I want to say thank you and congratulate you for being so mature to be thinking about these topics at that age. I can't say I was, but I'm going to say this to everybody listening. You should be a retirement plan geek. I mean, really, if we don't want to get stuck without a chair when the music stops and we're age 60, 65, 70, we should be thinking more about this. And so this is when Luke tells, Yoda, I'm not scared. You should be. You should be. Okay. I'm not a retirement plan geek. You should be. You don't know. I can't do a good Yoda voice, but
you got an A for effort.
they say. Well, since a new Star Wars has come out, and I would be neglect.
That was very. I got a very relevant comment. That was very relevant in the pop culture. Good job.
Well, thank you.
Let me say this though on what you were saying there. Yeah, you should be paying attention to retirement plan rules and be an expert on this because this is where more people have more money than anywhere else. Mm. It's crazy. People have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars even saved up in their retirement accounts and really don't know these rules. People are putting money every paycheck into these retirement accounts and don't know the rules. So that's why we're trying to educate more on it, why we think it's such a big deal, why it's such a big area of our practice and our business is it's in your life, man. It's the most investable section of cash. There's $30 trillion in retirement accounts in the US. We know most of you have one, so whether it's your 401k at work or your IRA. So just want you to be a little more educated about that money you have been saving up all these years.
I love it. All right. Well, I'm ready to give a very practical tax tip that I think will apply to everyone on the show. I'm going to try to hit it out of the park.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay. What's our first recommendation for our clients? Have a small business on the side, which would include kind of a pseudo business such as rental property. One could argue that rental property is passive and an investment, but it's also a business where you can capture tax write-offs. So I kind of call it pseudo because it's in that gray area, but it is a business when you get down to it. So I'm going to repeat that. One of our number one wealth building tax saving strategies, many of you already know this, is to have a small business even on the side. Doesn't mean you have to quit your job, and you should at least have some sort of passive real estate investment on the side. And if you disagree with me, let me just say, without question, every one of our successful, wealthy, stable, and I'm not saying that they have a lot of money, but they're stable and wealthy in the sense they have financial security. They have a small business on the side or real estate. It's just every time. And we've had the pleasure over 20 years of working with so many amazing clients that are doing things great. And some clients that are kind of train wrecks once in a while. And that's okay. We've all been a train wreck at one point in our lives financially, but we see patterns. So here's my point. So if you're listening and you don't think this tip applies to you, think twice. And here's the tip. On every one of those reports for your small business tax reporting, you should have the auto deduction. Now that may be I came around a long way to get there, but I want you to take this seriously and how important it is. Every one of your small business tax reports, even if it's a rental property, should have an auto deduction. You would be shocked. Now, I've got a tip here that's coming on the auto, but you would be shocked how many people I meet. They're, you got some rental property. And I'll look at their 1040 Schedule E, and there's some rentals, and there's no auto deduction. I said, are you telling me you never got in your car to go look at the rental or buy something for the rental or drive to check on it? I don't care if it's in Duluth, Minnesota. Did you go to Staples and buy a pad of paper? Yeah. Well, where the freak is your auto deduction? My God, never brought it up. So you're leaving money on the table. So auto deduction. I just recorded a YouTube video. It'll be out before this podcast is even out, probably simultaneously. Get over to YouTube and just type Mark Kohler Auto or Kohler Auto Deduction. And I've got a new diagram, Matt. You're going to love it. It's literally, I was in bed. It was my flux capacitor of Back to the Future. You know, Doc came up with that, the flux capacitor when he hit his head. This was mine. This was another flux capacitor moment. And I came up with a little matrix of when to determine, should I go mileage or actual? And a lot of people call us all the time. Mark, I'm down buying a car. I just bought a car. Should I do mileage or actual? Now, here's the first tip. IRS just came out 2 days ago with the 2020 mileage rate for small business. It went down by half a cent. Not a big deal. It's now 57 and a half cents for every mile. Now, I've said this, and I'm going to do it here on my phone right here. I'm just going to do the math right now. Just to give you an example of how powerful that is, say you've got a car that's getting 40 miles to the gallon. We're going to look at how much would that deduction be? $23. So if you fill up a tank with $3 of gas and you're able to go 40 miles, your actual deduction is $23. Did you hear that? For every $3 a gallon you put in your gas, $3 a gallon of gas you put in your car, your tax deduction for that 40 miles you just bought is actually $23.
Yeah.
So this is why the mileage rate matters. Now, back to the core issue, and I'll just explain the matrix. In this matrix, the less your car costs and the more mileage you do, you're going to want to go mileage.
For sure,
The more your car costs, or truck or SUV, and the less mileage you drive, you want to go actual. So I put this on a grid, and there's this kind of sweet spot where it's going to kind of, you're going to go from one side to the other. And sometimes it can be hard to determine, but for most of us, once you get on that grid and you start putting, okay, what's the cost of the car? And I want my clients buying used, new for them, making sure we don't overpay for our vehicles, and then maximizing our mileage, you're going to find out real quick, okay, where do I generally fall? And it becomes a much easier decision-making process. So look for that. When you go to YouTube, search Mark Kohler Auto. Do not search for sweet spot. I'm not liable for what you might find. So just put Kohler Auto deduction, not the, just want to
keep
this PG-13. Be careful out there, folks. Be careful what you type in your search engine.
Search tip out there. Okay, cool. Well, I think, you know, is this sweet spot you found though, of when to make the decision. It's like, Doc, and was it 28.1 gigawatts? Was that the right number?
Dude, you're good.
I don't know if I nailed that there, but, and I don't even know what a gigawatt is. It's probably made up, but I wouldn't know.
What are you crazy? We can't do that. I need a bolt of lightning.
Or is it 98.1? I don't know. 28.1? I don't know. Something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
You got the number figured out. Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's get into the topic of the hour, strategic planning. I'll say this at the outset. We are true believers of strategic planning.
Tell them why, Matt. What's happening tomorrow? Tell them.
Tomorrow is the Mark Kohler, Matt Sorensen strategic planning session. And both of us look forward to it every year. It's a great time to plan and strategize, talk through, make some action items, divide up who's doing what, making sure we're, you know, doing our best to conquer the world, one accounting, tax, and self-directed IRA client at a time. So it's awesome. And here's another thing to think about too, just staying on big picture. You need to take a moment in your business or your investments to take a step back and look at what you're doing. What am I trying to accomplish? How am I getting there? What can I do this year or the next 3 or 5, or, you know, however you're setting your plan for. And then also look at what you did last year. That's what Mark and I start out with, because we write down all this stuff. And we're going to talk about how to do this, but we write this all down and we look at what we talked about last year. And that sets us in the right mood when we start, because it's amazing. We do everything. We really do. Yeah. We hit all those items. Amazing. We do it. And we're accountable to it. And we know we're going to come back to it next year. And so, so it's really cool to you know, take it serious like that, and then be able to look back at your year 2 to get started on the next.
I love it. And I'll add to that kind of big picture comment, and then we'll get into, of course, the nuts and bolts. But I'm going to work backwards on Matt's comments. You know, we literally track even down to the number of phone calls, the number of visits to our site, the number of YouTube clicks, yep. the number of listens on our podcast. And we've kept our calendar and our strategic plans literally by our side religiously since about 2014. So I'd say on my desk in the corner, well, I shouldn't say it's on my desk. It's on the credenza, not right in front of me, but right behind me. I've got 5 years worth of strat plans sitting there with our results of what we accomplished. And so when Matt and I meet, we're like, okay, what's the trend here? What's going wrong? And or what's going good? And what changed? And yada, yada. And then the last point that Matt hit on, and I want to just add to, is he said, we look forward to this every year. Frankly, I think, Matt, you and I get this about three times a year, at least twice. Like in the summer, we'll find a time to hang out too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Yep. Last year was snow skiing. We went up
That's right.
to a ski resort. And it was a lot of fun.
Late spring, yeah. It was great.
We've done mountain biking in Central Park in New York.
Yeah.
We've done
surfing.
Yep. We've done the actual board
meeting on the surfboards. Yeah.
We've done, because we try to couple it with a little fun. It's not a 3 or 5 day thing. It's just 1 or 2 days, and our families get annoyed if we're out playing too much, and that's cool. But we've done fly fishing. We stayed at the Butch Cassidy Inn, which is right next to the house that Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid hit out in for a while. And we went fly fishing there.
We literally ate bologna sandwiches from the 8-room motel we stayed in. Yeah. It was the worst meal I've ever had in my life, but still delicious in its own weird way.
Yeah, we were on these rocking chairs out in the desert, just sitting on this wooden patio. I felt like I was in, Tombstone, and some guy comes by on a horse, and I'm like, I'm your Huckleberry. I was just like, it was legit.
Yeah. Well, let's actually make a tip of this, because I think this is important, and everybody can, you can have your own way to approach this, but a lot of people, a lot of companies that do this like to go offsite, go somewhere else.
Yes.
Get out of the mix of people being able to bug you. If it's your home life, your office life, wherever, go somewhere else. This is creative time, planning. You want to be in a place that whatever gets your juices flowing, gets you excited, gets you creative thinking. That's where you want to go. So that's why we're talking about this. These are ideas we go somewhere else. We both got to get out of our worlds so we can focus.
And we're going to just keep rattling off little tips on this as we throw mud at the wall. And hopefully one of these sticks with some of you, but I'm going to say, I know there's a lot of you out there going, well, it's just me. I don't have a Matt Sorensen I can go hang out with, which I'm lucky to have in my life. Everybody needs a Matt Sorensen to go hang out with.
This is true. I can't disagree.
Yeah. It's critical for life's happiness, but some of you feel isolated. You're like, it's just me. I've got this idea. Even my spouse is not on board. My family, my brother, my sister, and you may feel very, very alone. And you're like, this doesn't apply to me. I can't know. If anything, it applies to you more, because I want you to write this down and then build that little board of advisors, that little board of directors. And I know many of you are sick of me talking about it over and over again, but it's really evolved into an important principle as a tax strategy and as a business and investment building strategy. You've got to share your plan with someone, because that's when it comes alive. So even if you feel isolated and I'm going to go do the plan by myself, in that special spot Matt talks about that gets you inspired and profound thoughts happen. Good, write it down, then go share it. Someone that's not going to beat you up, probably not family. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe the barista at Starbucks. Say, hey, when's your next break?
I have some stuff I'm going to run by. You just give me some feedback, whatever. You never know. You never know. Doesn't hurt.
Okay. What would you say next? Okay.
I like to start
with the 10-year plan. We got to work backwards.
Okay. You want to go big first. Okay.
Could I say that?
Okay. Yeah. So let's start with your vision first.
Yeah. Because really, and sorry, Matt, I didn't mean to cut your thought. We're on a webcam, so I can see Matt kind of like, where do I go next? And to me, I think if you're going to write down your plan for this year, well, where do you want to be in 5? Where do you want to be in 3? Where do you want to be in 10? Because why write up a plan that's got you in a wrong spot where it's unrealistic?
Yeah.
And I know you're a big fan of this.
Yeah. I love the 10-year vision. And this is about, this is very personal, right? This is your 10-year plan. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Like, this is financially, your business, where do you want it to be? And when you do this strategic plan, you can have a strategic plan that's personal. You can have a strategic plan that's your business. And I have separate ones for that, but I also have kind of this global strategic plan where they all come together, so to speak. But it starts with your vision. And where do you want to be in 10 years? Who do you want to be with? What's your day like in 10 years? What freedoms do you have that you don't today? Where are you making an impact? You know, what's your family situation like? What's your health? What's your finances? You know, the people in your business, what are they up to? So Matt, it's more big picture.
You went way too deep on me there.
Hey, that's where you got to start. Because if you don't have the vision, where are you going, right? So seriously, now you can define, all right, in order to have that freedom, what do I need? In order for my business to be automated and running as I want it to be or having this much cash flow, what do I need to accomplish? Now you start working backwards and getting practical. Where do I got to be in 5 years? Where do I got to be in 3? Where do I got to be in 1? Now, I already have this. Mark has this. And now our process starts, for those of you who have done it before, and adjusting this. Starting back at what you said you wanted to be in 10 years, you know, 9 years ago. And start adjusting this. Is it realistic? Has my plans changed? You eventually got to work back to where you want to be in a year. And then start. And then you've got a lot of items in a month, 3 months. And it's just you build, you know?
Yeah. Now the impetus for this strategic plan for 2020 is that 10-year plan. I want to just, again, give you an additional resource. On YouTube, I have a 10-year plan video on how to write it and how to build it. It's about 9 minutes long. It's, I think, very inspiring. It's got a lot of B-roll and some good tips. Please watch it and have your family watch it and your business partner watch it before you go to this 2020 strat plan. Because a lot of times you sit down and go, well, what do I want to do this year? If you don't have that vision of the future, it can even make it more difficult. But one thing I say in that video, and this is what I was going to throw out next, is that I've had clients come to me and they're very mechanical about it. They'll say, okay, in 10 years, I want 10 rentals. Okay, that's cool. And they're all going to be cash flowing. Got it. Like it. And they divide it by 10 and go, in 1 year, I got to have 1. In 2 years, I got to have 2. In 3 years, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
And I'll say, where are you at right now? And I'll say, and they'll show me their 10-year plan, 10 rentals. I'll go, you're not buying a rental this year. And I'm like, Mark, come on. I mean, you told me to do this. I got to work backwards. And I'll say, you're not ready for that first rental. So sometimes you have to take one step back to take three steps forward. And that's okay. Yeah. And some clients, I have to talk about it being frustrated. They're like, well, I'm not working on my 10-year plan. I didn't buy a rental. I'm like, no, you did. And I use it in a journey as an example. If you're going to go on a 10-mile hike, you just don't run out the door. You put on the right shoes, you get water, you get some food, you get a little backpack going. You just don't run off with your head cut off. And so that's the same thing with your 10-year plan. Don't be mechanical and be willing to make some hard changes in the first year.
Yeah.
And that could be a huge part of your 2020 plan.
Yeah. And for many of you starting a business or new rental property or investments, or even just your personal financial strategic plan that you're making, there's some hard things at first that don't seem like progress because you're not acquiring a new rental property. You're not opening your doors for business. You're not setting up your entity yet. Yeah. You're not dumping money into a Roth yet. And so sometimes that's frustrating, but in order to do those things successfully, you do need to have some groundwork laid. Sometimes it's some education. Sometimes it's some preparation financially, cleaning up credit. There's all those little things, but if you think it from the 10-year perspective and you know you have a 10-year goal, well, maybe in year 8 and 9, I can be picking up 3 properties a year because I've done a lot of stuff 8 years ago that freed me up financially, that gave me a better credit score, that gave me better earning power. And so don't think in the short term too much. We want to think short term, but only in the perspective of where we want to be long term. Yeah. And that helps put it in perspective. And I think can get you also out of, like, I think a lot of business owners start out and they've got their strategic plan, so to speak, and they don't have any revenue their first year. Well, you had a lot of crap you got to get done before you're even, you know, some people aren't at a different spot where they start, but you're still making progress.
Yeah. And before I quote Kevin Costner, I want to throw this out too, is it takes a perspective of patience, and it's okay. I oftentimes see clients that are going down this path and they feel like it's a race. They look at people in their family, they look at people in their church, their business club, and they get frustrated because they may not be making the immediate progress they thought they should have. So be patient, and don't try to bite off more than you can chew. And I think if any progress is good progress, and it can be a very step-by-step procedure. So. Yep.
One of the next things I like to do is start thinking of data. Think of the metrics that matter for you. You know, like in our law firm, for example, you could say, well, Mark and I can track how many new clients did we bring in? How many new consults did our attorneys do? How many new entities did we set up? You know, and so think of some metrics. Those are that really drive your business. And for the, you know, for on the real estate side, it could be the properties cash flowing, properties with equity. You know, there's lots of different metrics you can have. For any business, of course, it could be your sales or revenue or net income. I mean, these are all important things, but think of some metrics, because this is what you want to start setting out goals for. And where do I want to be at the end of a year? Now, how am I going to get there? What's my battle plan, so to speak, on how to get there, which we'll talk about. And so start thinking of the data that matters. Look at what you did last year in your business. Pull that. Look and see, maybe it's doing some trending. So we've already done some of that. We pulled some data already for our meetings tomorrow. And but that makes it a very practical, and it also it's very smart thing to be doing. Some of you will realize, crap, I'm not tracking data in my business. I don't even know what the heck's going on. Well, you're kind of going, you're running your business in the dark. You got to start getting and pulling that data and tracking it so you can make better, more informed decisions. And so that might be just, you know, something you're going to start to do for this year. If you don't have the data, it's like, okay, this year, or this is part of my strategic plan, I'm starting to track data, you know?
And another way of saying it is, I need the baseline. Where am I at now?
Exactly. Yeah.
Where can I go from here? And some people say, well, my strat plan is I'm going to make more sales. I'm going to hire 2 more employees. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to hire a personal assistant, or I'm going to buy this or that. You want to be very specific. And the only way to be specific is to have data that's going to tell you how you're progressing. And so, Matt, I love you brought that up, because a strat plan, there better be numbers on it. It's not just a touchy-feely one sentence this, one sentence that. And it should have dates on it. Like, by June 1st, I want to do this. By the end of every month, I want this. Yeah. And the other thing is, it's modifiable. It's okay. It's your plan. Don't feel like you failed if you make a major adjustment. Sometimes you get in, you're like, oh my word, I didn't know what I didn't know. And all of a sudden, the plan has to change and evolve, but you're making progress, even if you're taking, again, that step backwards.
Yeah. One thing I'd say too, for those that you that have a business and maybe a team, and this is something I did at Directed IRA, which is our self-directed IRA custodian. Love to help you with your self-directed IRA account needs. Go to directedIRA.com. you know, we have our strategic plan there. Yeah. Mark and I, that's one thing we'll hit on when we're meeting, amongst other strategic planning, but I did a 2019 year in review in our company. And it was so cool for everyone on the team to see all the things we accomplished in 2019, and went through that and kind of celebrated it. So make sure you're also reflective of what you've done in the prior years. Where were you successful? Where are things on last year's planning that you knew were important that you didn't get to? And try and think of that. Why didn't I accomplish that last year? What caused me to not get to this and accomplish what I thought was important last year? So take some time, I think, and you're getting data, reflect on what you did last year, have some celebrations, involve the people on your team, for those of you that have a team, in that discussion, like we talked about with your partner, or maybe it's your employees or key staff people. So, but look at the things you didn't get to and start addressing those too. I think those are, it's an important, easy, low hanging fruit to start. Yeah.
Another point. Obviously, this is written, people, and some folks that are very digital are trying to do everything on their phones and their iPads and their computers. And a strat plan like this can get buried in the technology of your devices. Matt and I both like paper for this purpose. So I wanted to make that point. In my new the law firm, accounting firm, the trust company, we're doing an annual calendar now with tax deadlines and tips. And in that calendar, we leave sections for your strat plan for the year, each month. It's nimble. You can get over to our websites and pick up a calendar for this year. It's new, we're just doing it this year. And it's one where when you write it down and then you carry it around with you, it's going to be more in front of your face. You're going to open up your month, you're going to look at your schedule, and you go, there's my 10-year plan. And so I'm still very dedicated to my Google calendar. I let electronics support me in every way I can. But when it comes to my goal setting in my 2020,
yeah,
I want that on freaking paper. And I want it next to me at bed on my nightstand. I want it on a plane with me. And I'm going to make notations all the time.
Yep. Yeah. It's in my bag every day, wherever I go, to work, home. It is that my Moleskine is what I've used because we just got the MJK calendars, you know, which is also in my bag now, Mark, you know, it's coming with me, which is cool. So if you don't have anything, if you're not using anything yet, go there. It's a great tool. Particularly if you've never done this before, Mark's got a lot of tips on what to do and sections on what to fill out that helps you through this. So this is endorsed by Matt Sorensen, of course.
Man, you're like awesome. Mr. Advertiser today. I love it. Keep it up.
You know, I don't know what's gotten into me. I'm more trying to make a joke, of course. But this is like, it's kind of like my journal in many ways. It's odd because I have all the prior years, what we talked about, in the same Moleskine. If I have an important thought or thing I'm going to do, it drops it in there. And it's fun for me to just go through this, which it would not be as fun on a phone or a device going through notes or other things to just look at it. But it has a lot of meaning. Once I put something into that, it means something to me. That means I'm serious about whatever I threw in there. And so separate, I think there's a little bit of that little touch and feel of that just helps separate. It makes it important and different from all the other things you're doing in your life.
It's worked well for me because I go to Matt's bag, I pull it out, and then I go in there and I make a little note, buy Mark a new gun for Christmas. And then it's there, you know, and then he's like, how did that get in here? I wrote it down in the middle of the night.
It's a little off, but yeah. I mean, you got it down as you know.
It's just weird. You know, send Mark a thank you. You know, those little notes that you see in there, Matt, those aren't me. Those are you, just in the spur of the moment.
I was wondering if I was like in a drunken stupor or what happened when some of those notes got thrown in there. It's all coming together. Weird.
I want to give another tip here. And this has got a Dave Ramsey twist to it. I want to say it this way. Multitask and habit building. And let me explain why I say multitask and habit building. Dave Ramsey, for all the amazing things he's done, and I've got to be honest, he's changed my life in a lot of ways. He's changed millions of Americans, and I think his tips are fantastic in so many different ways. But I think he goes too far sometimes. And what he'll do with some people that I get need this, but it's finding that balance in your life. He has people go off the reservation and completely focus on paying down debt. He'll say, get out of debt. You got to get out of your home debt. You got to get out of every piece of debt. Debt is bad, 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 bad. Well, I tend to believe that some debt can be good at a very low interest rate. Do I need to throw every dollar I've got at my home loan? Maybe not. Do I need to go pay down a student loan excessively and sacrifice habit building by just putting maybe $50 a week in a Roth IRA or getting my 401k match? I have literally met with close friends and clients, both, that'll quit contributing to their 401k because they watched a Dave Ramsey podcast and they're like, I got to get out of debt. And so they stopped doing all investing entirely to go hyper-focus on the debt reduction. My feeling in life is there's always this balance. Hey, I want you out of debt. And I may not have you go out and buy that rental until you're out of debt, but does that mean you stop putting money in your IRA or 401k or get the match at least at work? Be careful going too excessive in one particular area.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. And I think many of our businesses have a lot of dimension to them and things we need to address all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Some of them take time too. Some of them are things you're going to be doing every week. And it may only be a few hours of your time every week, but you know, you've got to then jump onto something else that's helping you meet your total strategic plan and such. So let's hit a little practical points, I guess, in detail in building this, just so you help understand the process. Okay, we start with 10 years, break it down into 5, 3, then 1. Now, when you're at 1, think of the things. Now we're still working backwards here. Maybe break it up into quarters is probably how Mark and I do it. Maybe, you know, you do half the year, you know, and think of the things you want to approach in first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth. You know, this is how a lot of companies will do it. Big companies, small companies. And what do I need to be doing each day? Right. And this could be your social media engagement. This could be how you start off the day, like habits of what you do, you know, maybe your schedule. Some of you may do email first. Some of you may get important tasks done before you even open your email. You know, what? Just think of your schedule. Even
yeah, sales calls, investing, saving. Yep. You know,
how much prospecting do I need to do?
Yeah,
yeah. How much education do I need? If particularly if you're new into this, how much time do I need to set aside? Where do I prioritize that? Am I doing it early in the morning? Am I doing it in the evenings? Am I cranking out stuff at lunch? You know, because your education and just learning is part of this too. I'm still doing that. Yeah. Mark's doing that. We're still getting educated on stuff. Things are changing. We want to be better. We're wanting to learn new things. So, so where's the education in that too? And I'm just talking about daily things that you may not be thinking about, but it builds these habits that you're talking about, Mark. And it's a lot of different things going on at once, but if you think of your daily schedule too, that's kind of one thing I'm trying to do in this year more is redefine what I do every day and think of my schedule and how I approach my day that in the context of the strategic plan, what I'm trying to get done in 2020.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And because if just say we could look at it quarterly. So Matt and I say this quarter, we want to get X, Y, and Z done. You don't wait till April 30th to do it. You're like, oh, I'm meeting with Matt. I better go home and hurry and do it. And blow 3 days stressed out. No, it's if you've got it and not just cram it into Sunday evenings of what you're trying to do. It's built. So think of what you have to accomplish quarterly, and then you're just eating that elephant one bite at a time every day. Yeah. And I think that really helps keep perspective, so you can accomplish things. And that daily schedule is so important. And I was just talking literally two hours ago before this radio show with Matt. And a guy asked me that I was collaborating with, Mark, how do you keep everything going on your little education and your staff and your marketing plan? And he goes, it seems like you're everywhere. And I go, well, really? It's just systemization. I know every Sunday night for a couple hours, I'm going to write a blog article. I might be watching a movie with my wife. I might be on the couch watching a football game, but I'm going to have my laptop open and I'm going to be researching, learning, or writing a blog article. Done. Every Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Oh, every Monday night. I know from about 9 to midnight, I'm going to put on an old movie, maybe a little Fletch, a little Dumb and Dumber, something brainless. Oh, I can't say that about Dumb and Dumber. That's profound. But I'm going to watch just kind of a dumb movie and I'm going to be working on the newsletter for the week. I know every Wednesday, I'm going to be here with Matt for an hour at lunch. Mm-hmm. Doing my radio show. Every Friday, I know I'm going to be recording a YouTube video that will go live the following Monday. And so these little things just take an hour here and there. And if you put them in your schedule, then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, I'm getting a lot done. Yeah. Rather than it's this gnawing procrastination and it's on your back and you're stressed. And you're like, man, this strategic plan was the worst thing I ever did. It's killing me. Well, if you don't put it in your schedule, it is going to kill you. So tackle it little by little.
Yeah. And it should be priority in your schedule. If it was important enough to be in your strategic plan, the tasks and things you need to do to accomplish it are the first things that need to be on your schedule.
Yeah.
Those are priorities on anything else that might be there besides maybe really important family things, of course.
Not a Facebook, you know, not getting sucked into Facebook messaging at the sacrifice of my strat plan, you know.
For sure. So, okay. Let's talk about, we only have a little bit of time left here, but let's hit some other practical points on what we need to do, Mark. What else do you think? After we talked about daily schedule, kind of your habits, anything you want to talk about on the battle plan front or action plan?
Well, we use the term battle plan as a daily thing. And I like what Matt said, schedule. Now, okay, so Ooh, I like what you said, Matt. Okay, so let me couple it with the battle plan. Matt said, schedule it. Love it. And I just gave some examples of what I schedule so that it's not overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But isn't it interesting that at the end of the day, you could be walking out of the office, walking out of your bedroom office, driving home, and you're like, ugh, here's what I've got to get done tomorrow. And yeah. You think about it. And then what happens? The next morning you wake up, maybe you get your workout in, you get to the office, you open up your email. You look at your social media, you talk to your staff, or and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and it's 1 o'clock. You just, you know, woof down a breakfast burrito and you're like, I haven't even done what I knew the night before was the most important thing to do. And so what Matt and I have talked about is the battle plan. We were taught this by a consultant that said, before you leave your desk, pull out a post-it and write down the 3 most important things that need to get done tomorrow. And stick that post-it on your computer screen. Then the next morning when you get there, you're like, oh, I remembered. Half the time I forget what they were. So I get there and I see the post-it. And then I do that before I open the email, meet with staff, or just start the craziness of the day. Get those over with. And that's part of the Eat the Frog book, which is great. Get those things that are maybe the most uncomfortable done first. So there's different concepts out there. But I think that helps too, because your schedule is one part, but then that daily attack that will evolve every day is important.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So now you're of course writing this down, as we talked about. I don't want to, you know, make sure you write it down. Also review it. So be looking at this on a regular basis, be checking in with yourself or your business partner or, you know, team, whoever it may be, whoever's accountable with you in this strategic plan that you're doing. I want to throw out just a few other things to think about though in your business, depending on where you are. You may be, if you're new, you might be really hyper-focused on marketing, getting sales, perfecting your services or product or whatever it may be, and just, you know, some real basic things, and those could be your focus. Maybe you're more established and you need to re-look at efficiencies. How do I grow and scale this more efficiently? What procedures should I be implementing? What technology should I be using that I'm not, that can really be beneficial to my customers and also make my life easier? You might have more money to spend on third-party people and professionals that can help, and think about how you can source those resources and what you're willing to budget. I also like to think of this as a time to maybe set a budget for your business. Okay, look at the revenues you've had. And this could be one rental property. This could be someone with a $100 million revenue, you know, successful private business. So I won't want to call it a small business, but, you know, so, but have a budget on where you think you're going to be and look at your expenses. That could be a big thing of your strategic plan too, is, you know, a focus on expenses for the year and how can I be more efficient and pay better attention to that. There's so much of this. I'm just trying to throw out practical things to be thinking about that can be hitting your plan. People. God, this is probably the biggest one, is what people do you need in your business? Employees, staff. Mark talked about hiring maybe your first assistant. Man, that's a really important one.
Yeah, and which people to get rid of, sadly. You're like, I got to get rid of this insurance agent, or I've got to get rid of this employee. Mm-hmm. It can be challenging. So, okay. Now, I think we nailed it. I think there's enough there that many of you can re-listen to this, take some practical notes, get that 2020 plan done right away. Matt, should I take us out?
Yeah.
Feeling it? All right. Well, thanks everybody for continuing to listen to our show. We really appreciate you. And I want to just encourage you to share this with others. Please give us a 5-star review when you can on iTunes or Stitcher. It goes a long way. We just want to say thank you. Good luck. We'll be here next week on the open forum. It's in the calendar. So it's now in the 2020 calendar for business owners. You can look at that and know when our open forum is going to be. So if you want to participate live and call in or email a question, we would love that. And the instructions for that are always in the newsletter. Make sure you're reading the newsletter. There's so many tips and advice in that. Even if it's just for a minute, quick review will help. So thanks, everybody. Matt Sorensen, Mark Kohler here, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.